Welcome to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Richard's going to take the next few minutes to share some great words of hope, insight, humor, and relevance. In today's lost and searching world, that's something everyone desperately needs to hear. Speaking of that, we'd love to keep this conversation going with you anytime through our website, richardellistalks.com. In fact, there's so many ways to connect with us from there that you really need to check it out for yourself, richardellistalks.com. But right now, let's go ahead and get things off and running with today's talk. Here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is Pretty Prayers. Go to Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to go, as I try to do, left to right. Matthew chapter 6, verse 5. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites. You say, well, what's a hypocrite? It's someone who acts one way and does another. I'm a hypocrite. And most of us in this room are hypocrites. At some point in our lives, if not already today or this week, you're a hypocrite. Because we're claiming to be one thing and we're doing something else, thinking something else, saying something else other than what we claim to be. So he says, don't be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand praying. They love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets that they may be seen by men. They're giving speeches. They want someone to say, oh my gosh, what an amazing person. If your prayers wow the crowd more than they wow God, it's not working for you. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. What do you mean their reward? They're probably not going to get an answer to those prayers. What they're really after is the accolades, the acknowledgement of the crowd. And people go, oh, you're so wonderful. Oh, yes, you're right. And that's it. That's your reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room. And when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in the secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do. For they think that they will be heard for their many words. So some people memorize prayers. And you say, well, but what's he about to give us? The Lord's Prayer. I've memorized that. So should I never use the Lord's Prayer? You should never use it as though it's just something you just repeat. Stop and think about what you're saying. Not just, well, I said the Lord's Prayer and I'm done. I guess God's happy. Are you throwing up prayers on God, or are you really praying from your heart and expressing things and asking for things? And by the way, the Lord's Prayer is not all asking. It is just saying certain things. And look what he says. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven. You can't even get through this prayer without being a part of a family. It starts not my Father, our Father. So the importance of praying this prayer is, even if you're by yourself on the moon, you know you're not alone. You're a part of an hour, not my. So it is a family prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. So you're not coming blowing in there, oh, I need this. It's all about me. It's about understanding who he is. He's your Father. His name is to be hallowed, held in high esteem. Your kingdom come, your will be done. I promise you, your prayers will be changed with that phrase hits him first. Your kingdom come, the rule and reign of Christ in your heart and in your life, your will be done. So before you ask for anything, you're saying, I want you to rule and reign in my life, and I want your will to be done, not my will to be done. And then he adds, on earth as it is in heaven. How is God's will done in heaven? When God speaks in heaven, it happens. First time obedience, angels move, it happens. So when you pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth, I want to see things happening down here the way they happen in heaven, which includes you and me and our following Christ. So when you read and I read something in scripture and God says, that's my will, you say, I don't care, I don't want to do that. You got problems. It's disobedience, and that's where we get so messed up. So when he speaks to your heart, when you pray a prayer, and he says, okay, you found that verse, that's what I want for your life. Then you have to do what it is, and that's why he says to pray this. Then a very basic thing he starts with, give us this day our daily bread. I know people on this planet who that literally has been their prayer. Every day, it's not excess, it's not paying bills. They didn't even have electricity. It's daily bread. They've got to find food. And that is so far from our reality usually. You say, well, but I'm hungry. We don't have any food in the pantry. It is almost impossible to starve in this town. You say, what are you talking about? There are food pantries. There are ministries. There is food. There are places on the planet where there is no food. And they are scrapping and clawing. And so he gives us a basic prayer here. Give us this day, God, all we're asking for is daily bread. We don't have pantries. We need daily bread. So this prayer works for anybody, anywhere. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Simple prayer. Now you say, well, I don't know any pretty prayers. If you know that one, start with that one and slow it down. Don't just repeat it. Say, okay, God, here's what I think about this phrase. And by the way, what is the only thing this prayer encourages you to ask for? Tangible, material, food. That's it. Go to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14, the wind, we got a storm kicking up. And look down in verse 30 without reading the whole story here. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out saying, what? Lord, save me. It's not a complicated prayer. Can you get that out? You say, I don't know what to say to God. This is not complicated. You say, well, how do I start? God. Go to Mark chapter 9. And there's a little story that goes with this. True story. Mark chapter 9, verse 14. And when he came to the disciples, he saw a great multitude around them and scribes disputing among them. Immediately when they saw him, all the people were greatly amazed and running to him, greeted him. And he asked the scribes, what are you discussing with them? Then one of the crowd answered and said, teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit. And whenever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not. He answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me. Then they brought him to him, and when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him and fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. So he asked his father, how long has this been happening to him? And he said, from childhood. And often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. That's not complicated. If you can do anything, you say, why is he saying if? He may not be sure. And you say, well, I go to God and I'm not 100% sure. Just go the way you are. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Can you pray that? You get overwhelmed. You get anxious. You get afraid. You get angry. You get whatever. And you're praying that God will do something. You're waiting on him. And you think he can do it. And yet you have doubt, just get this one out. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief, shore up my position. Help me get all the way there. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more. Then the spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly and came out of him, and he became as one dead, so that many said, he's dead. But Jesus took him by the hand, lifted him up, and he arose. And when he had come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could we not cast it out? So he said to them, this kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting. So you say, well, I don't fast yet. Okay, you can one day. You say, well, my prayers are really simple now. Okay, that's great. But if you're praying, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief, then he helps you with your unbelief. Pretty soon, your faith is kind of like a muscle. The more you exercise it, the stronger it becomes. And then you find yourself doing some heavy lifting. And in situations where you start asking for things you never used to ask for, why? Because you believe he can actually do it. Keep your prayers simple. And see what happens. Go to Luke 18. And I'm going to start in 18:1 because I want you to hear this too. Then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart, saying, there was a man in a certain city. There was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. So he didn't fear God. He didn't care about people. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, get justice for me from my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming, she wearies me. She's wearing me out. Now here is biblical basis for wearing God out. And this is a judge who doesn't fear God and have any regard for man. So God is God, and he has tremendous regard for man. And the example he gives here is stay on it. You say, well, why can't I just ask one time and it work? I don't know. He set it up this way. Stop trying to figure out why it doesn't work the way he said to do it and just do what he said. Persevere. Bang on the door. Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? What does that mean? Will we really be after him? You might be on the verge of quitting. Your fist is sore. You're tired of banging. You're tired of knocking. You're tired of harassing God, basically. Don't quit. You say, but it's not happening. Let me tell you something that is happening. Your faith is growing and you're persevering. And whether your prayer changes the situation you're praying for, I promise you it'll change you. Because then you find yourself interceding on behalf of other people, other things. You learn to persevere in prayer and not quit. Next few verses. Verse 9, also he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, which is very fascinating to me. God, I thank you that I am not like the other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector, this guy that's in here with me. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. So now what does that tell you? I'm not saying it's not a bad thing to tithe. We're not discouraging that. It's not a bad thing to fast even twice a week. We're not discouraging that. But you can do a bunch of spiritual stuff and your heart be way away from God. And the tax collector, who this guy's thanking God that he's not like, the tax collector standing afar off would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, couldn't even lift his head, but beat on his breast. In there like this, head down, beating on his breast. Can't raise his head, but he's desperate for God enough to even show up. Beats on his breast and he says, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Simple prayer. Turns out a pretty prayer. Doesn't have all that flowery stuff the other guy had, which as it turns out, wasn't very impressive at all because he wasn't backing up what he was saying with who he was. And was praying, as it says, all that within himself. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other, for everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. And who are we talking about here in this story? The guy who couldn't even raise his head, beating on his chest out of remorse. Be merciful to me, a sinner. Go to Luke chapter 11. Luke here in chapter 11 starts it, a rendition of the Lord's Prayer from his perspective. And then down in verse 5, Luke 11:5, and he said to them, which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me on his journey and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within and say, do not trouble me. The door is now shut. My children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give it to you. I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. Again, harassing God. You say, what are all these verses about? I don't know, but it's in here. So not because he's my friend. Dude, I've locked the door. My kids are in the bed with me. We're all comfy, cozy. Too bad for your friend and eat breakfast. But that constant banging on the door. Boom, boom, boom. Not because he's a friend, but because of his persistence. Don't give up. You say, but now listen, you say, but I'm praying the same prayer. That's okay. I've shared this repeatedly. My mom used to say, if you can't get anything out but this, help Jesus help. Help Jesus help. I met a guy the other day who almost died. He was on a thing on a motorcycle, went off a cliff, horrible things, fell down. He managed to climb out of this ravine wherever he was and lived multiple surgeries. You know, when you have something bad like that happen, and you know that you're probably going to die if someone doesn't find you, you don't lay there almost dead going, I am in the canyon. I've injured myself. You don't lay there thinking about some eloquent speech. You just start screaming, help, help, help. And if you hear a sound like anybody could be close, it gets louder. Help, help, help. Why? Because that's what you need. You need help. So you say help repeatedly. It's not complicated. So you climb in your closet. Something's going on. You say, Jesus, help. You got to help me. And you say it as long as you can, and you go about your day. And if the help doesn't show up, you get back in your closet and you say, Jesus, I'm back. You haven't done anything yet. Help. Do something. I got verses to back this up. I'm going to harass you till you act in my behalf. You say, well, you're getting all arrogant. I'm just quoting you scripture. He wants to be harassed. Let's harass him. If you want more backup on this, let's keep reading. So I say to you, Luke 11:9. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock, it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? Of course not. But look at what is being stated here. What is being asked for? Simple things. Bread, fish, egg. That's the simple request. Daddy, can I have an egg? You think, well, no, it needs to be articulate. God, I'm aware that you created the chicken. I don't know if the chicken, you know, you don't have to do all that. Oh God, creator of chickens and roosters, bestow upon me, you know, what are you doing? I'd like an egg. I'd like some bread. I'd like some fish. Whatever happened to the childlikeness? We've got too many people praying crazy things. We think we got to be like them. Now, again, you say, well, you're judging people who are articulate in their prayers. I'm not. And I have been in places. I've been on prayer calls before where simple, godly people interceding. But I'm telling you, it's simple prayers. You don't have to be eloquent. You don't have to be articulate. You don't have to use huge vocabulary. If that's how you talk to everybody, great. But God is not impressed by your words. He is impressed by your heart and your persistence and your faith. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So you say, well, what is that about? I think it's pretty simple. You say, Father, the Holy Spirit, I need the Holy Spirit. I need to see you living in me and through me. So bread, fish, egg, Holy Spirit. So you wake up in the morning, what do you say? Holy Spirit, I don't need you just living in me. I need you living through me. I need to hear your voice. I need you to guide my path. I need you to tell me when to be quiet, when to speak, when to pray for someone. I need instructions. I need for you to speak to me through your word. So when I pray, I need you to reveal truth from your word. I need your help. And you think he's not going to help you? Of course he is, because that's what you asked for. Go to James chapter 5. Maybe we'll close with this one. James chapter 5, go down to verse 13. Okay, now these are very simple sentences to the point. James chapter 5, everybody there, verse 13. Is anyone among you suffering? What does he say to do? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick. And the Lord will raise him up. You say, well, what if it doesn't happen? What if it doesn't work? Just do what he says. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. And then look at this next verse, next phrase. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Now, effective fervent does not involve wordiness, okay? This is where people get confused. You say, well, it has to be fervent, and then I've got to say a bunch of stuff. How loud can you scream help in a closet? It's effective, and if it's fervent, it avails much. It brings it to pass. It's going to work. You say, that's all I got to scream? If that's all you got, say that. And if you get more specific, you say, well, yeah, it is more specific. Then get specific. But just don't randomly repeat things. I'm amazed at how many little kids, when they get locked in on something they want for Christmas, like they start in January. Hey, Dad, I want a red bike for Christmas. I'm just letting you know what I'm thinking. A few days later, hey, Dad, have you thought any more about my red bike for Christmas coming up in 11 months? And you think, okay, I know already. And it's over and over. Dad, my red bike. You know what happens to that kid by Christmas? He ends up with a red bike. How did he end up with a red bike? Because he didn't go away. And what begins to happen is the parent goes, this kid's serious. This isn't a passing, fleeting thought. This kid wants that red bike and he's not quitting. And if it doesn't show up this Christmas, we're going to start again in January. You didn't hear me. I'm not quitting on the red bike. And now I'm adding little tassel thingies and a banana seat. Say, oh God, you know, I want such and such. And he goes, okay, I hear that. And then we quit. Go back at him. Simple prayers. Hey, it's me again. Guess what? I'm not going away. Save my friend. Save my sister. Save my dad, my mother, my brother, whoever it is. God, you got to help. This cannot not be your will. What are you doing? Why is it taking so long? Talk to him. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly. Now look at this. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain. Now, how complicated do you think that prayer is? No rain. Amen. This is not complicated. God told him what to pray. He prays it. That's it. It's amazing when I call the bank and try to do something, and what do they ask you invariably? Anything on the phone. Now, some of these things have to be verified on the phone, and they say, what is the password? And if you don't have the password, they're doing nothing. And if you give them some obscure password that no one knows but you and you've given them, no one's getting in, right? But if you say the password, the whole thing opens up. Yes, sir, Mr. Ellis. Thank you, Mr. Ellis. We have it right here. And all of a sudden, there's no problems. So you go to God and you say, I don't even know what to pray. And then the Holy Spirit, who you've asked for, says, okay, ask for this. And then you start asking for what he wants to do anyway. And you know what? It always happens.
Before Richard comes back to wrap things up for us today, I'd like to share a couple important things with you. Let me encourage you to take a minute and check out our website, richardellistalks.com. You'll find today's talk right there in the talks page, along with all of Richard's messages. You can even forward them to a friend so they can hear them too. You'll also find the prayer wall to add your prayer requests, a link to connect with us, the contribute page for you to be able to give to this ministry, a radio station finder, all our social media links, and much more. So check it out, richardellistalks.com. And Richard's back now to wrap up today's talk.
So he prays, Elijah, a nature like ours, so another, he's a human being, because a lot of people get hung up on this phrase. He says, the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. You go, oh, well, see, I'm out. I'm not a righteous man. If you are a Christian, you are a righteous man or woman. He's declared you that. Amen. You say, well, but I'm not living that way. That's another problem. You are righteous because you have been made the righteousness of God in him. You are righteous. Amen. Declared that. So you say, well, there's a problem because I have a t-shirt that says righteous, but the person in it is not living that way. Then change the way you live. Ask God for that. Help me be who you say I am. So he points out Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. So Elijah had his own struggles, had his own challenges. You know, he's just a guy. But he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again. So how hard is this? Again, it's no rain. Rain. You know, what do you want? It's simple. You can add a dear God, let it rain. I'm cool with that. Dear God, you have withheld rain from the earth for millennia. You know, here we go again. Like, dude, just say the words. Don't wear him out more than you're going to wear him out. Let it rain. He prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. It's so simple. If you got kids, you know this is simple. Dad, can I go to this movie? Dad, I need $20 for this deal. My prayers have not always been and are not always pretty. But when I do talk to him, even when it's not a good situation, hopefully it is from my heart. And sometimes it is, be merciful to me, a sinner. And sometimes it's, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. My prayers are pretty simple. You say, well, what if it doesn't happen? I don't control that. But we can keep praying. Don't quit so easy. But what if it doesn't happen? He'll change you in the asking.
You've been listening to Richard Ellis Talks. We really appreciate that you've spent this time with us, but we want to keep the conversation going with you. A couple of ways you can connect with us is by giving us a call anytime at 855-6-RICHARD. That's 855-6-RICHARD. Another way is through our website, richardellistalks.com. You can email us, sign up to get the daily talk sent to your phone each day, right on the prayer wall where we can pray for you, or even stay in touch through our Facebook page at Talk with Richard. We love bringing you the program every day, but it means even more to us when you let us know how the program has helped you. So call 855-6-RICHARD or connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. Finally, if you enjoy the program, let us know by your generous support. It would really mean a lot to us. richardellistalks.com. So until next time, have a great day, and thank you for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.